Good morning, everyone. I'm stuck in stop-and-go traffic this morning on my way into work, so my studio today, once again, is my car, but this time we're actually on the move. So we're coming to you live right outside of Portland, Maine, maybe 7 minutes. We're really not that far, but we're stuck in this jam. And so we're going to talk a little bit while I muddle through this situation. Now, last time, I got to work, I stopped, you know, I recorded the episode before I went into the office. That worked out really well. I was able to do the tail end when I left the office, and I think even for this episode, that'll work fine. But I'm starting to see that my schedule is kind of bizarre and compacted, and I might get really, really good at, playing the Carmen Sandiego of podcasting studios. Like, where are we podcasting from now? It'll always be different. I travel a lot, so I've read a ton of articles from NPR newscasters who record, you know, their episodes from, like, you know, hotel rooms. And they build little pocket studios using pillows and blankets, and that actually works pretty well. I've tested that a little bit, and, you know, it helps cut down on the background noise, which helps what poor audio quality this droid records really stand out. So I'm gonna get a chance to test that soon. I've got to go down to Florida in the near future, and another time to Long Island, and that'll be fun opportunities to see what we can record, what we can talk about. But for the time being, we're going to hope that, you know, there's not too much road noise from the cars in the other lane zipping past. This is probably also just a chance to say that I really wish that there was a train infrastructure, like any sort of rail infrastructure, actually, that went up the coast of Maine and was, you know, somewhat timely. Like, a bullet train would be great. I don't know how this is considered more efficient than a train. I should probably stop complaining about traffic. This is not the Traffic Jam Radio Gazette. This is a low-tech Radio Gazette. We need to talk about a really cool piece of technology that has been around for ages. I grew up with it, and it inspires, probably the most ubiquitous piece of technology that we use day-to-day, which is smartphones. Hell, including this droid. And that tech is Palm PDAs. Now, when I was a kid, I have very vivid memories of my mother going out and buying a Palm PDA and using it to organize. She's very into the bullet journaling now, which is more freeform than a Palm PDA ever was. But part of that is just, you know, her organizing. Like, that's just how she thinks and functions. And for me, it was always a lot more about playing Bubble Pop or, you know, Bejeweled when, you know, that eventually hit the more expensive units. And quite frankly, as is maybe indicative of my proclivities towards playing games on the Palm, I suck at organizing myself. So I recently, you know, I've just been having a dickens of a time getting my work and life schedule in order. I've used, you know, org mode with like a get things done style setup. I've got a nice like Elisp setup that automates a lot of these things. But, you know, if I don't pull my droid out and power it on, then, you know, I miss all of these like micro events. So I kind of need a gap device, something that I can sync with my org mode nonsense, and carry around in a pocket that I can, you know, have like a 1-2 button press, view a calendar, make sure that, you know, an alarm is set. Things that really my droid wouldn't work for very well because the battery life on it is just not that great. Sure, I could leave the droid on, and it has a buzzer, it has a speaker. I know that I can play audio out of it. I could set up an alarm. I can make it buzz and flash lights when I need to. So functionally, I could set this up so that, you know, I have like a dates file or something, or some kind of org mode scraper that if I've got an event set, I'll give myself an auditory alarm. And I may end up doing that anyways. But if I leave the droid on all of the time, maybe I'll get 6 hours of battery life out of it, which that's not that great. Now, during the day, that'll be fine because I have a dock for it that I leave the system in. But the rest of the time when I'm out and about and in between, it just simply won't work. So I bought a Palm TX, which is, I would say it's Palm's last true PDA. They released them from about 2003 to 2009. I might be off by a couple of years. Maybe it's 2005. But regardless, this is like the mid to tail end of the 2000s. This unit has, you know, Wi-Fi on board, and it's got, you know, Wi-Fi on a PDA, by the way. It's just that is just bizarre. It's a full-color screen. It's really robust, has a wicked good battery life. And, I mean, on eBay, I think I spent $20 for one that was almost brand new in box. The person who owned it had unpacked it, used it for a little while, kept it in a metal case. It is literally minty. The battery, in fact, still holds a wicked good charge, which is crazy. So, you know, I've picked up this Palm to kind of stop gap in the meantime and see, like, is it even feasible? I really want to move away from the suite of Google Things that seems to own this ecosystem, because we've replaced our PDAs with smartphones and Google Calendar and that kind of stuff. So, you know, maybe I'll never get the PDA to sync to my Gmail, but that's fine because I don't mind checking it a mutt. I really, quite frankly, I bought the PDA to play Bejeweled and SimCity and have a really fancy calendar, and it works perfectly for that, like really, really well. I think I've been using it for a couple of weeks now, nothing crazy. But during that time, I've noticed that the slow input of the Palm makes me stop and consider what information I'm capturing. Does it need to be, you know, a paragraph of text defining the task, or can that be delegated to something else? And I'm using the Palm as a very purpose-driven device. It's there for me to essentially give myself just a heads up, like, this is what's coming up in your day, this is what's going to happen this week, here are your meetings. That way, when someone asks me, it's like, oh, do you think you can go down to New Hampshire on Wednesday? I can look at my PDA and I say, my kid's got soccer practice on Wednesday, so I don't think I can. Because, quite frankly, I am wont to forget that, unfortunately, or I guess unwont. Unwont is the correct term. I don't want to forget these things, but if I pull out my phone and I look at my Google Calendar, it's a mix of, like, three different work calendars, my wife's calendar, my son's like school schedule, my personal calendar. I can't keep track of it. Absolutely not. Sure, it's color-coded, but the way that it's presented in Google Calendar is this big, like, mush of, like, it's black and then blocks, massive blocks of random color codes, and it means absolutely nothing to me. Maybe it's the ADHD and I'm not focusing on it, but it sucks and I just cannot use it. Now, the Palm only shows me what I put in it. So it has its own set of problems. I could very easily forget to put something into the PDA and then miss it, but I've gone through and made sure all of the important things that I regularly check for very meticulously on that Google Calendar go into the PDA. So I feel like I'm okay. I have to check in with my wife to make sure I'm not missing any dates. And that's not a bad thing, because it shows that I'm on top of things and that I actually want to make sure I do this right. That went to sleep. So, you know, the Palm is, it's dated. I couldn't get Wi-Fi to work unless it was an open network connection, which I used just long enough to, you know, pull down a couple of ROM files onto it to enable, like, an SD card that's not the proper size for it. And after that, I've really just stuck with it. I don't use it for contacts. It's quite literally a tasks and calendar, like a very fancy to-do list. But it works for me, because I think I've plugged it in twice for a couple of hours, and it has weeks worth of battery life. I've not let the thing die yet, but, you know, it's not gone down below 30%, and it just kind of sits there and chirps at me when there's something to do. It's beautiful. I really wish that our modern smartphones were this level of distraction-free. Because that's the thing. If I pull out my smartphone to check a Google Calendar, I'm also going to check my work email, and then I'm going to check my personal email because I'm in there. And then I'll obviously have to start, you know, browsing Reddit, and, you know, maybe I should check my blog in case, you know, Zabbix hasn't told me it's down. And then, you know, there's this, like, dark rabbit hole that I spiral into where it's like, I got to check 50 other blogs that I follow because I'm here, I'm holding this phone, and it lets me access the internet constantly. And I guess for me, I really enjoy just seeing what's out there, learning random things. So I can very easily get lost in this little rabbit hole of, ooh, shiny, something new. Why don't we read about implementing IPv6 routing in OpenWrt? Do I use OpenWrt? No. Do I use IPv6 anywhere? Not currently. I probably need to. But it's like, it's not relevant to what I was doing. Neither of those things are related to my personal life or, you know, work or the calendar that I was checking that was to, you know, make sure that I didn't miss, like, a meeting or something. But that's where I end up finding myself. Easily distracted. Extremely easily distracted, I am. So, we get a Palm. The worst case scenario is that I play 5 minutes worth of Bejeweled, fail at it horribly because I will never be as good at it as my mother. But I'll enjoy every moment because it's a little bit of a nostalgia binge for me. And I mean, it's funny because I purchased this PDA and I've let my son fiddle with it a little bit. And he enjoys playing Bejeweled and Bubble Pop. And a couple other things on there. For him, it's a glorified gaming, it's a really old retro gaming thing with the equivalent of really crappy smartphone apps on it. But he loves it. It's this, like, I see the same exact thing that I saw as a kid. It's like, my parent has something cool and I want to poke it and prod it and see what it does. And as soon as I find out that it plays games, that's where I'm at. Yeah, fun stuff. It's been fun. We're going to give it a whirl and see how it goes. Right, so I think I'm actually going to do the second segment for this episode just right now because I think I haven't made it more than a mile. Yeah, instead of the afternoon, we're just going to keep going. Anyways, with the Palm, there's this great set of tools called Pilot Link. They're like, I want to say they're written in C or C++ with like some Perl scripting around there. They're old. But they work well with the Palm TX. And I was able to get them compiled, and I have an unofficial package done for Alpine for them. They work on my Droid, which is cool. So part of the reason why I purchased the TX and not like an M505, which I've used in the past, was for the fact that it had a Wi-Fi interface. And with that, you can actually do a hot sync of your Palm contact information and calendar and whatnot over Wi-Fi. Yeah, it relies on an open wireless connection, but that's not I'm not too worried about that, because the information that I'm going to store on the Palm is going to be like calendar information, and I'm not going to sync this thing, you know, to my Droid and back when I'm out and about or at the office. That's something that will happen, you know, at home with a hidden Wi-Fi network, and I'll try and reduce it down. I did patch the firmware on the Palm to try and get like WPA2 enterprise support, but it's like quite literally like EAP TLS Wi-Fi, which requires a PKI like MTLS certificate to actually work. And while I'm not opposed to do that, I'm also not going to, you know, rewire my home network for EAP TLS just to sync, you know, contact data on a Palm from 20 years ago. That would be a little bit extra. I mean, certainly over-engineered, so I can't rule it out. I probably will do it at some point. Mutual TLS is, like, really cool tech. It's the same stuff that enables Gemini, pretty much. That's tofu, but regardless. I have plans. I have plans for this thing. Long term, what I really want to do is I want to take the Pilot Link tool suite and wrap it in some Perl. Not Perl. I really don't want to write Perl. some ELISP inside of my org mode configuration, so that I can have some hotkeys that will, you know, either pull from the Palm to sync events or push to the Palm to add events. That way I can, it's like a really crappy version of an on-the-go org mode. I think there is, there's a smartphone app called Org Roam that will work on Android that essentially does this. It just syncs your org mode files back and forth between like a Dropbox or something. And while that's cool and I've used it in the past while I was in college, I'm trying to get away from my smartphone, I think. Like, if I can reduce the functionality that I use on that smartphone down to SMS alerts from, like, Zabbix, and here's a phone number, call me if there's an emergency, I would be golden. I'm perfectly delighted. I may never get away from using like something like Slack for work, or you know, Gmail in a business environment, but I'd like to move my personal stuff away from Android and Google and all of these things, and that's kind of the primary motivation. And thus far, it works okay. I haven't turned anything off, but it works well. Really building out this ELISP integration into it will be the icing on the cake, because then the PDA will become much more useful. I can use it to track, you know, a global list of to-do tasks. I can use it to sync all of my calendars. I can keep track of my ideas on the go if I really wanted to. You know, I think I've got a RecUtils file with contact information in it, which would probably be really easy to parse and then, you know, work into Pilot Link commands. And I guess on a long enough timeline, if I become really dependent on this, maybe I don't like the Pilot Link tool suite and I start to dig into that and see how I can write my own. I'm certainly not opposed to writing a new one in Nim or Golang. Like, I feel like that would almost be, yeah, I certainly wouldn't be more functional or performant. It just depends on if something is missing, formatting wise. But I think the real point here is that thanks to just the wonders and like interesting world of open source software, I'm able to integrate a modern tool with this old piece of tech and kind of get a workflow that you would, like, you know, you would pay money or go to a big corporation for, without too much fuss. Like, I'm not building all of the pipes unless I really want to. I'm just putting together some glue inside of my org configuration to make it all work. And I kind of love that. That kind of, it feels like what the Palm was designed for, because they provided a suite of, you know, syncing tools and whatnot. It's not like people were writing their own ROMs to get the PDA to do what they wanted. You could. In fact, there are people, like, just as recent as this month, releasing new ROMs for the PDA. Someone has built a Lua environment for the Palm PDA and just released it this month. And I'm kind of excited because it's got a lot of bindings for, you know, making applications and you know, interacting with the GUI interface in the PDA. So it's kind of cool. Maybe not super performant, but this little device has such a, like, dedicated niche community around it, and I kind of feel it. It's just cool. It's simple enough that you can grok it and do really complex things like port Lua to it if you really wanted to. But at the same time, it is very literally designed to be as user-friendly and as, you know, performant as possible. It's a little pocket companion computer. And I love that. It won't advertise anything to me. You know, it won't distract me unless I tell it to. And that's extremely desirable compared to the world of push notifications that we live in and constant advertisement. So why set timers on your smartphone when you could just uninstall the calendar and not be distracted? Just look at your PDA. Well, I'll have to do an update at some point as I go into, like, actually building out this tool set and continue to use the PDA. I'm hesitant to travel with it because I don't want to lose it. It's not like it's an encrypted device, which I think is really the downside to this. Everything is offline on the PDA, so I have to manually back it up with these tools if I want to, you know, persist. But also, if I lose it, then everybody just kind of has it. Sure, I can set a PIN on it, but it's like it's a 5 or 4-digit PIN, and, you know, you can just sit there and input whatever you want until you get it. So someone can quite literally, if I drop this thing in the airport, pick it up and say, ooh, shiny, cool. And if, you know, if they want to poke at it enough, they just do 1, 2, 3, 4 all across the screen until they get my my PIN. And if they don't want to do that, they just press the reset button on the back, and now it's their PDA, which, sure, fair. I mean, at least the device is kind of easy to reuse. Yeah, I'm not sure yet. I really like it, though, so far. You know, downfalls aside, it's kind of like, I don't know, this is my same general feeling for Plan 9 as well. Like, it is an extremely interesting operating system. It's very fun to dabble with, but it's old and unmaintained, and, you know, the community that supports the only truly living distribution of it, Ninefront, those guys are great, like, impressive and wicked smart, but I am, I guess, somewhat hesitant to trust, like, the Sextor and Factotum encryption, just because it's old at this point. And at least with cryptography, it seems like the world is moving at such a rapid clip that you can't sit still for too long. So I was somewhat hesitant when I took my netbook out to Canada, even though, you know, it was encrypted. I wasn't really sure if that would, you know, falter under scrutiny. Of course, I never gave anybody an opportunity to try that. And even if they had, I would have just unlocked the Sextor. And it's not, I'm not going to fight with the TSA. So, yeah. Is it any worse? I guess if someone wants to look at the calendar on my PDA, they can see that I am busy. I'll even take screenshots for you guys. But I don't know. We muddle and going back and forth. I guess I muddle and go back and forth on this. There's just obvious pros and cons. And as much as I wish that there was some sort of bulletproof, future-resistant device, it certainly isn't. And I kind of feel like Palm's history speaks to this, because they have like 2 decades or so of really cool devices that got released back to back to back. And then they switched to this. It's like they changed the operating system from like the actual Palm OS into WebOS, and it becomes more of a smartphone at that point with a full keyboard. And, you know, you start to see the bleed through. I don't know. I guess the next step up from this would be trying to crack a BlackBerry phone and get it to work on modern networks. They had one that was like a big, fat, chunky phablet that I've always really liked. I think it was called the BlackBerry Passport. And I feel like those devices are kind of, you know, they're dead because BlackBerry killed them. They killed the infrastructure and won't unlock the damn things. But so, you know, maybe there's a future where that becomes unlocked and there's a step up, an upgrade to the technology, where if you need a keyboard, you've got something like that. All of these problems obviously could be solved if I could get, you know, the LTE to function on my Droid consistently without absolutely trashing the battery life on it. And if, you know, the battery life on the Droid lasted like 24 hours. I feel maybe it's a bit much to ask for an ancient phone, but I'm kind of spoiled by how well the Palm's, you know, sleep functionality works. But unlike the Palm, if I pull out my Droid, I will get distracted because I can browse the web, read all of the blogs that I have in my newsboat. I can program to my heart's content, SSH out to anything. Like, it's a world of distractions. So the Palm's almost like my digital Zen garden. I'm able to just focus on the one thing and do it well. There's lots and lots of literature on how to organize yourself. And I think what I'm really trying to do with all of this and trying to express is that I suck at organizing myself, and it's probably to do with a lack of focus. Not necessarily something that I can control, but it's certainly something that I can try to deal with. And, you know, I find that what works for everybody else doesn't necessarily work so well for me. And the biggest thing is to really capture my interest, and then I have almost like a hyperfixation on it, an endless bound for time investment and needless overwork, which is what, you know, my entire blog is about. We're here to over-engineer, because over-engineering keeps me invested and sane and interested, kind of like, you know, doing an entire podcast on an old phone. Speaking of, hopefully the audio quality has been much better this episode. I got a lot of feedback after releasing the first episode. This should have all of the tweaks that everybody has mentioned, like some sort of transitions, an intro of, I hope it, an interesting intro. We'll see what everybody thinks. And better audio quality. I mean, I can't help my studio, since I decided that it was a good idea to record this while driving. But I've been able to tweak the mic gain, and I believe I've got both sets of mics in the Droid recording at the same time, so the depth of the audio should be much, much better now. I'll obviously know by the time that I get to this statement whether or not that's the truth of the matter. And I may just need to add a disclaimer at the end of the show notes to say whether or not I lied accidentally on air. Well, the traffic has finally cleared up, and I am but a few minutes away from work now. So this has been Will with Low Tech Radio Gazette. We are signing off.